Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app as well, the online home for all things Penn State football. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here, and this is not a drill. It is game week. Penn State, Appalachian State coming up this weekend, Saturday, a 3:30 p.m. kickoff time from Beaver Stadium. We're going to look ahead to that game. We're going to start things in just a moment here with just what we learned from training camp, Greg. There was a... As always, it's a little bit more cryptic than you would hope, but there were some lessons to learn there. I'm curious to see, you know, what stood out to you. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 is going to join us a little bit later in the show. We're going to wrap things up with a look at the Big Ten in 2018, our pick for conference champion, player of the year, rookie of the year, all that good stuff. And looking forward to it. Football is back, and I wanted to let you know Labatt Blue giving away a pair of tickets for the Kent State game. For your chance to win, you can visit one of these three great outlets: Oakhurst Beverage in Harrisburg, Pletcher's Beer Distributor in State College, or Home Service Beverage in Williamsport. We'll pull the winner on air, so listen to the Keystone Kickoff Show to see if your name is called. No purchase necessary for this. It's brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and you can start this weekend, Greg. Football's back.
Yes, and thankfully it's about time, because we're running out of ways to look back and look forward
to
and
there's not much else to say.
Break down training camp and all that good stuff. I mean, it's been enjoyable, but it's time for the act. You know, as much as the players are ready to hit someone that's not wearing blue or white, I think we're ready to talk about a team and a group that's not just Penn State, because it's been a seemingly unending offseason. It's been pretty eventful at times, and there's been a lot of stuff that have popped up, but it is nice that it's finally reaching a point where it's go time and the action's about to start again for real.
So before we get into that, that's the second quarter of our show. We're going to look at that game more specifically. I just want to, you know, let the dust settle on training camp a little bit, and let's talk about lessons that we learned. And I'll start the bidding here at wide receiver, where the depth chart is even murkier than I expected. And one of those reasons, and I think I don't mean this in a bad way at all. If I were to say that about safety, maybe I'd maybe wouldn't mean it as well. But wide receiver, so many options, and Jahan Dotson, the true freshman from Nazareth, really emerged as not just a novelty. I think he's here for week one. I think he's here for year one, and they got a lot of young wide receivers. We just don't know how that's going to turn out.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, I think that for Penn State, it really has to figure out a couple of things. Number one, how will it use Tommy Stevens, and will that have an impact on whether it goes four wide receivers, whether it goes with a tight end as much as Joe Moorhead did, you know, and that I think will have a play a large role in how many guys get on the field. So I don't know. Does Justin Shorter not being the buzz of camp surprise many? Yes. Does Jahan Dotson look like a guy that's going to play come as a surprise? Yes. But other than that, I think we're still have a lot of questions to answer even beyond those two. What is Brandon Polk's role? Is he going to be a big-time contributor or not? How can KJ Hamler provide a spark? What kind of veteran improvements do we see from Juwan Johnson and DeAndre Tompkins? I mean, all these different things to look at right now, and there's a lot more questions than answers, as you said.
In a good way. Another position where that's probably the case is tight end, where I think what we learned late in the process was that the group approach, which we knew was going to unfold, we knew that was going to happen, but Danny Dalton is starting to make a little bit of a rise, and I guess it all kind of makes sense that he's brought a consistent effort to training camp, but he also benefited from some injuries and stuff and got a lot of reps. He got a lot of good work in the spring. So Danny Dalton looks ready to play. So does Pat Freiermuth, which I think having options three and four really can, for me anyway, eases my concerns about that position just a little bit. Obviously losing Mike Gesicki and all that he brought to the table, but I think they can get away with using this group effort approach, maybe getting a little upgrade in blocking, maybe being able to mix and match.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that, you know, each week when Penn State selects its players to participate in news conferences with the media during the week, it's always a random grab bag of guys. More often than not, in this week, John Holland was one of the guys selected expected. And that flies directly in the face with the idea that Danny Dalton has been the guy that maybe has jumped to the top of the tight end pile. So I'm left to sort of assume that, like we talked about earlier this week, Dustin, it's going to be a rotation. I don't think it's going to be Danny Dalton, John Holland, Nick Bowers, who is he even on the roster anymore? I don't know if we've heard him about him at all this summer. And Pat Freiermuth, you know, I don't think it's going to be one of those guys that jumps up and dominates all of the reps. I think you're going to see a pretty good mix and rotation of guys at this point in time. So what does that mean? It means that not one of these guys has really taken the step forward to jump ahead and grab the job by the horns. Now, is that a bad thing? I don't know. We'll see. There's some arguments to be made that Mike Gesicki really could have been benefited by not playing as many snaps as he did a year ago. And so you sort of start to wonder if having guys be able to rotate and having the type of talent needed to really give guys a breather and rotate your tight ends may be a good thing. However, it also makes you wonder if maybe one guy's just not talented enough to run with the job. And what does that mean?
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We'd like to welcome Shotzi's Brats to the KSN team with us. Whether you're going to Happy Valley for a football game or you're having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats, they belong on your grill. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football just doesn't get any better than that. I love it. I'm looking forward to a sample. I need a sample. Shotzi'sBrats.com. They look amazing, and they do look jumbo as well.
You know, if we were the Thursday crew with Ross Tucker and Bob Flounders and Andy Shea, I bet we'd have a sample right now.
We just don't have that kind of clout.
No.
Next week we will have Shotzi's Brats. I want to speak from my heart about this, and nothing gets to my heart, and not just clogging the arteries like bratwurst. You can visit us this weekend at the open house at gopsurv.com. All that stuff is happening at gopsurv.com, including the 409 Tailgate Club guys as well, and Tailgate Wine. So a lot of stuff going on there. Shotzi's Brats will be a part of it. Go check them out. What did you learn, Greg, about the linebacker rotation? What did you think going in, and what did you learn coming out the other side?
I feel less confident than maybe any other position about who the starters will be at the end of the season based off of who they will be in game one.
More confident in the rotation and the depth, probably, but less confident about knowing how it's going to unfold.
So before the season, or before camp started, rather, I think we all assumed Cole Farmer and Cam Brown will be two of the starters, and then the middle is what they had to figure out. And now, I mean, you've heard good things about Jesse Luceda, about Micah Parsons. I mean, Cam Brown and Koa Farmer are going to start the season. I don't think there's any question about that. But by the middle of October, you could see a totally different group getting most of the reps out there. It's just been really fascinating to see how quickly the two young guys, Parsons and Luceda, have stepped up and really commanded reps from their older teammates, and how that might shake things up this fall, especially with Brent Pry. Guess what he loves to do? Blitz. Guess what Micah Parsons does really well? Blitz. So I think you're going to see a ton of him this fall as a true freshman, and I also think it might take some reps away from the older guys.
Yeah, I think that's kind of an inevitability with the raw talent that Parsons has and what what he's been bringing to the field as far as you know, just wanting to be a really good football player. You can never be too sure about that with a guy, especially a five-star kid, but I think he's proven that. For me, Greg, the defensive tackle rotation, you know, you thought there was a possibility of it starting to skew young, but I think we've gotten confirmation of that. We've gotten confirmation about how ready P.J. Mustipher seems to be. He was among the later arrivals from this class, but he also got there with a high school wrestling pedigree. He also got there with a 300-plus pound frame. It didn't look like it was 300-plus pounds. Like, he was built to play this position, and it's not a big surprise that he's done it at a pretty high level right out of the gates.
Yeah, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but you know, when a guy wins two state title wrestling championships, heavyweight, he really has a level of athleticism for as big as he is that's almost unheard of. You see these guys go on to do a lot of great things. Some of them do it on the mat, but P.J. Mustipher does it on the football field. And to look at him the day he got to Penn State, you could just tell there was something about him that said, I am going to play from day one, and you can doubt me if you want, but you're going to be disappointed. And if anyone did doubt him, they are indeed disappointed, because he has disappointed no one else when he's gotten to campus and really put the work in to play right away. So I'll tell you what, Dustin, I think that when you look at the end of year preseason all Big Ten team, perhaps the freshman all Big Ten team, you're going to see his name pop up there, I believe.
So I'm a little biased about this, but I believe the connection between wrestling and being a good offensive lineman and defensive lineman, I believe the connection is strong. I think, you know, you can be a state champion wrestling without being an elite athlete. I think you can get that done without being an elite athlete, just in general. But if you're an elite athlete who can thrive as a wrestler, I think it shows, you know, there's going to be physical stuff that comes with that. I think there's stuff to say about leverage and your use of hands. Your hand fighting in wrestling is going to directly translate to how you fight with your hands as a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. I also just think if you have a deep down to be a good wrestler, that is some of the hardest work you can do as an athlete. And I think that it's such a humbling sport and it's such a grueling sport in so many ways. And if you're going to succeed to that extent as a wrestler and you're an elite athlete as a defensive lineman, if your body was tailor-made to play defensive line, I think all that stuff adds up to a kid who's going to have a tremendous attitude. He's going to have some physical skills that he probably wouldn't have gotten without wrestling, and he's going to be a good football player too. And it's a special combination. You just don't see it very often. A lot of times you can see, you know, a heavyweight in wrestling continue their wrestling career, whatever. You don't often see somebody who's so good at football that remains committed to wrestling too. I think it's a rare thing. And PJ Mustafer, clearly a rare player.
Yeah, no question about it. So we'll see plenty of him this fall, plenty of Parsons, I'm sure plenty of Lucada as well. Maybe one of the more impactful freshman classes that Penn State's had in quite a number of years, which of course makes sense because it was a top five recruiting class.
And readiness, I mean, a lot of these guys showed up just ready to work. They took a really mature approach to it. I think it was a really mature class in addition to the talent level. I think one of the other big takeaways from camp, Greg, is Michael Mennett playing center. It was something that was discussed, and James Franklin threw it out there as a possibility a couple times along the way. And then I just think it was something different to prove it and for him to stick at that spot. And in a perfect world, he'd stay there and lock things down, and Connor McGovern would be better fit at guard. It looks like that's what we're going to get for week one. I don't anticipate that changing.
No, I would be surprised. I mean, the only way it changes in my book is if Michael Mennett if he would consistently show an inability to snap the ball consistently well. Then, yeah, I think you'll see a move. But other than that, everything else makes sense. Everything else fits. They've been working at this change for a long time now. It may be new to some following the program. It's not new to those that are inside of knew where the direction was going. So it all makes sense in the end. Good move, and I think it'll work out.
So this was our last segment looking at training camp, Woo! I think, and looking back instead of looking forward. We're looking ahead. Starting coming up right after this at Appalachian State, we're also going to talk to Tyler Donahue about the season ahead, and we're going to talk Big Ten superlatives. It's all coming up on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.